You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to The Hump. It's June 4th, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. I am joined by Jimmy Van. Jimmy, how are you?
Good, Sean Ross Sapp. How you doing?
I'm doing lovely. It's a nice day. I've got a four-hour AEW Dynamite to cover tonight, and hopefully I'm not on a live post show until like 2 a.m.
I will be watching none of it because the Edmonton Oilers are in the Stanley Cup Final.
What a mark!
And it begins tonight. And I got a question for you: Have you ever experienced when you try to use a ticket like Ticketmaster?
I thought you were going to say something about hockey in the finals because I'm a Maple Leafs fan. So
they're going to get worse before they get better. No, have you experienced when you try to use a ticket outlet that the tickets are gone instantly because of bots? Have you ever dealt with that?
Yeah, for sure.
I went on because I want to go to a game in Edmonton, and I still am going to try to go if I can. But I went on. I'm talking the second that tickets went on sale through Ticketmaster, I went on. And every pair that I tried to get, unavailable, 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 unavailable. And the next thing I knew, they were all gone. And within 2 hours, they're all back up resale for five times the price.
Yeah.
I got a buddy in that world and I said, what the hell is this? And he goes, oh yeah, bots are a big problem. That's what he said.
Oh
bots
yeah.
Are a big problem. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the reseller and all that stuff, and it jacks the price up. It's just a pain in the ass. Yeah,
this is often. Edmonton, Alberta, dude. Edmonton, Alberta. Some of the like front row tickets, $10,000 a ticket.
Ooh,
ridiculous!
Ooh.
Ridiculous.
So are you going to any of the games?
I'm looking into it. The timing sucks for me with most of them, but Game 5, which if things go well, maybe Game 5, the Cup is on the line that game. I'm looking into it. It'll be a Saturday game.
Okay.
And so I'm looking and we'll see.
Well, by God, we are here for The Hump, guys. Again, I'm here at midnight tonight to review AEW. So get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. If you all aren't familiar with this show, I know it's been a big week in news, been a big week for Fightful Select. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, but get your super chats and humper chats here at youtube.com/Fightful. And humperchats.com, humperchats.com, which can be very, very useful for you guys. If you don't want to stay up till midnight, but you still want to get your questions in, you can leave a humper chat before we go on the air for AEW Dynamite. But Jimmy, lots of stuff happened. Mariah May popping up in WWE, FightfulSelect.com. Best $5.99 a month in the business. Had a lot of details on that after the fact. Had details on it last week where there's an interesting situation there. She was taken off the roster page on May 30th. I hit up her management and they were like, well, technically she's still under contract. And even as reporting that, I said, you got to take that technically very literally because it's probably another day and a half. Abaddon, who noted that their contract is up on June 1st, is still on the roster page for AEW. Mm. Usually, up until a few months ago, it was a very literal reflection of who is on the roster and who wasn't. That seems to have changed a little bit lately, but also it seems like AEW probably wanted to get ahead of it and be like, no, she's not here, so expect this to come. naturally, we're going to get a lot of super chats and humper chats about Mariah May. How'd you feel about the debut and all that? And I'll provide some more details courtesy of FightfulSelect.com.
Great reaction. I mean, obviously, it's a small building. Great reaction. You can tell how excited she is. She very quickly changed her social media, WWE superstar and all of that. I got a couple questions for you related to it. And the first one is very much like when Ricky Starks debuted. They didn't mention her name. Commentators didn't mention her name. They really focused on glamorous, which is probably going to have to do with her presentation. But what have you heard? And I know it's early, but what have you heard about the usage of her name since it's got to be, there's got to be a reason why they didn't mention it.
So that is her shoot name. So I want to provide some context on that. Again, FightfulSelect.com. Please support original creators. But this is different than the Ricky Starks thing. Without doxing Ricky Starks, that's not his shoot name. Mm-hmm. Still a little bit confusing, though. Mariah May is her real name. It's her first and middle name. And she can use it. She's used it everywhere. They would be able to use it. There'd be nothing preventing them from doing it. It is a WWE thing. It is a WWE desire. And while I hopped on the NXT post show last night, somebody hit me up and they're like, hey, checking out the show, read the Select report. We are changing her name or altering her name. So it could be Mariah. It could be, you know, but if they're going to change it, there's no use in just making it Mariah. It would be like literally Mariah March or Mariah something else. Mm-hmm. As to be able to trademark it in some capacity. It's just, this seems like a very fruitless exercise, Jimmy, when she is able to, when people are able to show up on your show without introduction or being named and everybody knows who they are. Mm-hmm. Seems like a fruitless exercise there. If you're already going to do some sort of IP sharing element in the contract, it's like everybody already knows who she is. They know she's Mariah May. Mm-hmm. There are very few wrestling fans out there that aren't going to know at this stage. You can base that on the reactions and how WWE is comfortable introducing them without introducing them, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. With Ricky Starks, it was puzzling because, again, that isn't his name. But there were people in WWE insistent that he didn't have the rights to it. And I pushed back at this WWE person telling me this, and I'm like, brother, not only does he have the rights to it, he has appeared on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and Main Event for you all with that name numerous times before he ever went to NWA or AEW. So it is certainly an unusual situation here, but it seems like they want to just be able to trademark the name. We'll work on more, but that's what I'm told so far.
You know, it's strange. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I look at somebody like John Cena, who they went with John Cena.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can possibly think of, so I think back to like the Jesse Ventura lawsuit, right? Where Jesse Ventura won a lawsuit with WWE over royalties because his likeness and name were used in videos and things like that. I wonder if it has something to do with that. They're trying their best to limit royalty payments. I have no idea. But like you said, everybody knows who she is. Her social media says Mariah May. Like everybody knows.
Yeah. I'll see what else I can find out on there. And
here's another.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Now, here's another question for you related to this. So last week, you and I, related to Mariah anyway, last week, you and I were talking about Stephanie Vaquer just got called up. Jordynne Grace just got called up. Julia just got called up.
No, she didn't. She didn't. Jordynne Grace didn't get called up. I want to make that clear. As of right now, Jordynne Grace has not been called up. I don't believe she and Ricky Starks have been informed of a call up. Okay. It has been out there reported that that's the plan, but the talent have not been told anything like that as of yet.
Okay. Okay. Well, we know Stephanie and Julia have been, and that leaves a bit of a void in NXT. I think we knew with those girls and Jordan for that matter, they're going into NXT already experienced. They've been doing it for years. So you don't expect they're necessarily going to be there for a long period of time. Mariah, not only is she also obviously very experienced, was in a top program in AEW. She, you know, won the title at Wembley last year in front of like 50,000 people. She doesn't need to stick around a developmental. Do you think she's there right now to fill the void left by Stephanie and Julia? And do you think that her tenure there is going to be short?
Yeah, I do think that she's there to fill that void. And that's something that I had mentioned a little bit before. I mentioned this on the NXT show as well. Please go check that out, guys. But I feel like when you have a pseudo developmental territory like NXT, which is, it is part developmental. There's no denying that, but it is also a heavily pushed, like, third brand on network TV. You, of course, you have LFG and Evolve, whatever. It's still a developmental territory of sorts. I feel like it is important to have at least two women that are, one, ring generals or familiar with TV to an extensive degree. They kind of already had that with JC Jane as far as familiar with TV, and I'm ecstatic that she was pushed to the top of the card. But when you call up Stephanie, ring general, Julia, ring general, Roxanne, familiar with not just WWE TV, every TV, Jimmy. That woman has been on TV ever since she's been an adult. Like, an absolute, like, veteran, even as young as she is. When I heard they were also bringing up Jordan, I was like, well, it checks out. She's got a main roster contract, but damn, well, it doesn't leave a lot down there. Mm-hmm. I knew they had to replace it with something. So that's when I kind of got the feeling that Mariah May was coming up. That's what talent told me for the Fightful Select report as well. That's when they were like, okay, maybe Mariah is going to be on NXT. And also when you keep debuting talent like Ricky Starks, Ethan Page, Jordan Grace, Stephanie, Julia, all these people in NXT, it does make you show, or it does condition the audience to say, any given week on Tuesday, mm-hmm. you probably need to be tuned into this show. So I don't dislike that at all. WWE has their own way of doing TV, but she's completely familiar with working that. And I think that it is a way to fill that gap, Jimmy. I definitely do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I mean, she's got presence. And again, the reaction that she got was great. You know, for a small building like that, it looks like $1 million, can go in the ring, even got color in AEW, which
yeah.
they'll probably never do unless it's hard way in WWE, but good for her. Good for her. I mean, you can tell that, you know, this was kind of her dream. And
Jimmy, I really admire the way that she has handled her career. And she was first on my radar. Gosh, it was like January of 2019. And there was a wonderful gentleman, Casey Michael, rest his soul. Quite frankly, the greatest reporter of women's wrestling I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm very fortunate to know him. And within a month of her debuting, he had an article that said, like, Mariah May getting signed eventually. He has been, like, we've been without him for a number of years now. And it's like, he prophesied it. He knew it. Then later that year, a number of my friends, Alex, Queen of the Ring, Kayla from Church of Joshi, Alexis Littlefoot, who's been on Fightful before. I've literally wrestled her before. They all posed in a picture with Mariah May at the time, who was there attending a WWE show. Like, that picture has made the rounds so many times. But this is a woman who debuted in wrestling, very clearly got the presentation look element of it, got a very early tryout, Jimmy, didn't get hired, and then said, well, I'm going to go make myself the best possible wrestler and performer that I can. Went to Japan, killed it, made herself a sought-out free agent, got signed to AEW on a good deal with a beginning, middle, end to her story, became world champion, made herself somebody that WWE couldn't possibly ever say no to again, and hypothetically say she signed a 5-year deal. Age 31, her contract will be up. And I don't know the terms of her deal right now. If she took less money for her dream or whatever, she will be in a situation in 5 years where she is not going to take less money for anything, because AEW will offer to bring her back, barring some bridge burning situation. WWE will want to hold on to her. And you don't even know what the landscape will look like then. So nothing but respect for how she handled the course of her career. And I would advise more younger wrestlers to sign shorter term contracts to see what these companies will actually do with you. If you can get good representation like she did.
Good for her. Well, we'll see what happens. Sky's the limit for her in WWE.
We got plenty of super chats, humper chats about her. Obviously. I mean, listen, it was a big one here. Matt says, nothing but respect for Mariah. She played the game better than most, raised stock as a talent, got her dream job. It's crazy to think she was a world champ in AEW 5 months ago. Best to her. Listen, it is and I know he doesn't like me shouting him out, but Andrew Baydala put this on my radar before the Hollywood ending even. He's like, man, I think she's going. I was like, surely not. The AEW will make a big offer, and I don't know what they offered yet, but this is the beauty of having at least two companies up here doing this, Jimmy. It's the beauty of it. I would love a legitimate third option that runs more than like once a month or once every 4 or 5 weeks, but it's really beneficial, and she did play the game, and that's how a lot of people should play the game. They should absolutely do that. Do we expect Mariah to follow the Julia Stephanie schedule in regards to NXT main roster? Jimmy, to your point, you had kind of brought this up. I'm interested in what you think because, again, Jordynne Grace is on a main roster deal right now. They didn't expect her to stay down there very long, but also you've got to have the next ups. Like, you can't just leave it a wasteland, so to speak. So I think a lot of it depends on who they sign in the coming months.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, we don't see talent stuck to one brand anymore. You know, so like Julia was already on the main roster and in NXT. Stephanie worked Raw and she was still in NXT. There's nothing that's necessarily going to keep Mariah from Raw or SmackDown while she's still with NXT. Yeah. So that could happen. And she would get a great reaction in the bigger building too, if they go in that direction.
I want to say this to both WWE and AEW fans. Please be normal. Please stop burying talent because they leave. Don't choose your favorite company. Support the wrestlers, please. And thank you. I agree, Matt. Matt Hennessy, thank you for this, by the way. Jimmy, I know you're a sports guy. Listen, I am old enough to remember when LeBron James left Cleveland and they were burning his jersey. And then four months later,
I'm coming home. Tell the world that I'm coming home.
They're finding the ashes in their barbecue pit, all that bullshit. They're trying to find it. They're writing James over their Antoine Jameson jerseys, and he's bringing them a title. Like, it ain't that serious. Listen, I love sports and football as much as anything. If Joe Burrow up and left, I'd be hurt. I was hurt when Carson Palmer demanded a trade. And then what happened? They drafted Andy Dalton and AJ Green, and they did better than Carson Palmer ever did. And I got over it. What you want, if you are an AEW fan, you want somebody else to come along and fill the void that Mariah May has left behind and to do better than her. And you want a performer that you really love to do well somewhere else as well. It's just, yeah.
Do you know what an offer sheet is? Do they have offer sheets in basketball or baseball?
Yeah, I don't know. I know they got like deal memos and stuff.
An offer sheet is when you're a restricted free agent. So your rights are still with the team. But another team can make you an offer that you sign, and then your team's got to match.
So yeah, that's restricted free agency for sure, and in the NBA all the time. Yeah.
Okay, so to your point, what you just said, there's a player in the NHL named Dylan Holloway, and last summer he was with the Edmonton Oilers. He got an offer sheet from the St. Louis Blues. He ended up going to St. Louis. Before the playoffs this year, he got injured for St. Louis. I saw people online that were Oilers fans saying he deserved it.
Insane,
which is ridiculous. Yeah. So to your point, I saw a lot of comments online about what a demotion. Mariah was, you know, in Wembley and now she's in the PC and they don't know her deal. They don't know the plan for her. They don't know anything. You know what I mean?
That's like, Jimmy, I can't tell you the number of times when I'll report something. And like with Mariah May, I was like, guys, I cannot guarantee in April or May that she's going to WWE. I don't know her motivations, her specifics, like,
right.
Jimmy, you know, I've had offers to go to some pretty big outlets. That wasn't my motivation. I didn't want to go there. Like, I like what I'm doing. Every person, like, maybe they have kids. Maybe they have financial needs. Maybe they have location needs, all that stuff. Tekla wanted to move to the United States. She was ready to move here. So she moved here. That's just the way that it works sometimes. Mm-hmm. Ibu Mania says, I bet Mariah's NXT run is going to be 3 months. How long do you see it? They'll keep her as a top face. Next target for WWE is Saraya. I mean, hear me out. I actually think Saraya would be a nice fit on NXT.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
As well. Like, if you're moving Jordan or Mariah up, do that. I know Soraya has some bookings, like some, I think, signings and stuff well into the future. So I don't know how that would be affected, but
I mean, she made it pretty clear she's interested, right? In WWE.
Yeah, for sure. So. Let's see here. We got New Lack City saying, hey, guys, been a while. Sorry, I'm fine with Mariah wanting to go to her dream job, but I hate her having to go from AEW Women's Champ to developmental. Let's see these people's names locked down when they show up. I mean, listen, I view this way differently. I think there are a number of slots for Ethan Page, Ricky Starks, Jordan Grace, people like that who are experienced to go and help that. I don't think developmental is to help them. I think they are there to help NXT.
I agree.
That's what they are there for, and there's nothing wrong with that. Put this. How many times did we see when something happened on Collision and people are like, but why is this happening on Collision? Because they want you to watch Collision. That's why they want you to watch Collision. WWE wants you to watch NXT. So,
and NXT is a viable third brand now. So, you know, over 600,000 viewers a week on Tuesdays, by far the biggest thing the CW has on their network. And so, I fully agree with what you just said. They're not there because they require developmental. They're there to help developmental.
What are your thoughts on AEW at the moment? That is a pretty expansive thing for such a short super chat. But I share mine every Wednesday. Jimmy, any thoughts?
Well, we could tie this into the R-Truth thing, because I think AEW now has the biggest opportunity to regain market share that they've had in 3 years.
I said this the other day, and people called me crazy, Jimmy, but I think the last week and a half has really been, I said, a softball that WWE lobbed up to AEW.
Yeah, and here's the thing. So I said this on Twitter, too. I said that this is a great opportunity for AEW to regain market share, and a lot of people spun that. Like I was saying, AEW is going to sign Ron Killings.
Yeah, I don't expect that at all.
And that's not even what I was talking about. I was talking about the shift. I was talking about fan goodwill. I was talking about all of that. And so this is a great opportunity for AEW. Do you want to dive into this now?
Yeah, let's go ahead and dive into it after I tell you guys about the benefits of NordVPN.com/Fightful. Listen, maybe you sacrifice some dollars for your dream job and you're looking to cut a few corners. You're looking to save a little bit. Well, if you get NordVPN.com/Fightful, not only do you get, I think it's a 2+ year subscription for less than a 1 month of cable, you get a 30-day money back guarantee. So if for some reason you don't like it, and you will, you'll get your money back. If for some reason you say, I don't know how to run this, they got 24/7 tech support. But let me give you the lowdown. You download NordVPN.com/Fightful, get that great deal, subscribe to the lowest tier, change your virtual location. The app will pop up. You'll be able to pick what location, say the UK. Then that's what your PC basically makes the world think you're doing. You log into your Netflix, and then you've got access to Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and this weekend's PLE, all on that service. You don't need a bunch of other services in order to get it. Maybe the upcoming AEW pay-per-view, you want to get it at the same price they're paying overseas, they got you covered. It's a lot more than that, though. You can protect your online activity. You can listen to your favorites abroad. Maybe you're traveling. Maybe you want to go to Grand Slam Mexico, and you still want to watch like a game that you want to see, or you want to listen to your favorite shows or see your favorite shows, and they're geo-blocked. Don't worry, NordVPN.com/Fightful has you covered, and you protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. I am all the time, hotels, venues, airports, all that stuff. You got to make sure that you are secure, especially when you're on that unsecured Wi-Fi. It's available on all your devices and all operating systems. For example, I have Nord on this phone, this PC, the router in the corner, the smart TV on the wall, the Surface Pro right there on my other office, and then the studio PC over there. Six different devices, one subscription with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They have a wealth of other wonderful pros that you all can check out at NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check it out, my friends. Whew. Well, Jimmy, the R-Truth thing. I hit him up that day and I go, did you get hacked?
Oh, really?
And I was like, is this real? Like, that's how in disbelief I was. Mm-hmm. And that was shared as reported on FightfulSelect.com by the roster. What does it say that the roster of the five, think about how many releases, departures we've covered, especially over the last 5 years. They have shown you they will release anybody in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. They will not renew anybody's contract. A 53-year-old man was the most shocking one because of how beloved he is mm-hmm. within that roster.
Well, before we talk about the potential repercussions of them not re-signing Truth, I want to talk about the reality of WWE being owned by Endeavor. Mm-hmm. Because this goes right into what you just said. And there's some stuff here that I don't think people know, like the Silver Lake acquisition. I want to explain it. So, you know, we've talked before about how WWE, they're publicly owned, right? And so they have a lot of challenges when it comes to shareholders. They have to show growth every quarter, every year. That's just how it is. Well, aside from the challenge of having to deal with shareholders, they also have a big challenge because Endeavor and TKO are carrying a shit ton of debt. And they're carrying a lot of debt because they've done a lot of acquisitions over the years that have required them to take on loans to finance them. And so I looked this up. Endeavor has over $5 billion, with a B, billion in debt. TKO has around $3 billion in debt because the UFC acquisition is under TKO. So they've got all this money in debt. Over the 12-month period that ended December, that 12-month period, they repaid $3 billion in debt. And they still have that much left. And here's something that I think a lot of people might not know. When Endeavor was acquired by Silver Lake, Silver Lake's a private equity firm. And they acquired Endeavor for $13 billion, and they just closed it a couple months ago. People might look at that and they might think to themselves, well, if they got bought for $13 billion, why don't they just pay off the debt?
Yeah.
Do you know why, Sean?
I don't. Go ahead. Tell me.
There's two reasons. The first reason is Silver Lake acquired Endeavor by way of buying out the shares because Endeavor was a public company and they took it private and called it WME Group is the new name. So the shareholders got the money. Endeavor as a corporation did not get the money. So somebody like Ari Emanuel, who was a major shareholder of Endeavor, he walked away with almost $200 million in cash from that deal. Plus, he got another $300 million worth of ownership in that new private company, WME Group. So he made out like a bandit personally, but Endeavor as a corporation didn't get any money. That's the first thing. And the second part of this, as far as how it impacts TKO, that acquisition, Silver Lake buying Endeavor for $13 billion, Endeavor basically loaned them the money. A lot of the money that Silver Lake used came by way of debt that Endeavor basically extended them. And so that means that Endeavor is in a spot now where they need UFC and they need WWE and they need their other business endeavors to keep printing money because they got to keep paying off the debt. And what that means is they're going to keep looking for ways to cut costs whenever they think a cost is unnecessary. And that is unfortunately what happened with people like R-Truth and Carlito and Sarah Logan. They looked at them like they were costs that they could afford not to have. And that's the unfortunate reality of WWE being owned by Endeavor.
Now, my thoughts the other night got clipped and I think eliminated some important context. I have stated this repeatedly. Do I think that them letting R-Truth go is a good idea? No, I don't. Quite frankly, I don't see how you don't make money off of R-Truth. Yep. Not only that, he had a top-selling shirt last week.
Ron Cena.
Yes. And we have news on another recent top-selling merch guy, Karrion Kross, coming to FightfulSelect.com today that'll raise some eyebrows. But I do think that if they're going to let people go, I much prefer this method of letting their contract expire.
Right.
Now, I do not know if they offered him another deal and lowballed him. That's what Jonathan Coachman had heard. And I have heard some talent that have heard that, but they only heard it once Jonathan Coachman said it. So that might be the way that they heard it. And again, I don't want to minimize Coachman's sources. He worked there for a long time. He's clearly got connects there. And I don't think that people should write off the things that he says just because he annoys them sometimes on social media. Like, he's got some really, really good connects in that company. Mm-hmm. But I much prefer this method. And it is business, and it is the way that they're going to do. Like, Carlito didn't surprise me at all. Valhalla didn't surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. I can still be bummed that they lost their job. I thought Carlito was very, very
funny
about it and all that. I even joked, like, damn, he took his PlayStation 5 from the clubhouse on his way out. Like, they weren't playing it.
Yeah.
But I do much prefer this method of not renewing the contract. It's just specifically this one impacts morale. I'll read you a message from somebody who is pretty respected in the wrestling industry. And he said, I've heard the same thing from everyone up there. Someone used the quote, how can you trust the people who fired Santa Claus? And I'm like, okay.
You know what? We talked earlier about tribalism, right? With Mariah and everything. And I've seen some people, again, because they're pro WWE all the time. And so they are defending this decision. And we should specify first, we're doing it based on the assumption that Truth wanted to resign. And I'm thinking he did, because in his Twitter post, he used the word released, even though he wasn't released, he wasn't resigned, but he used the word released. And so that tells me that, you know, he would have stuck around if they wanted him. So I've seen people try to defend it by saying, well, Truth is 53 years old. He's a bit player. He's been a comedy act for 10 years, quote unquote, it's just business, right? You know this about me, Sean, when it comes to business, I'm a big believer in cultivating a positive work environment and a positive company culture. You've seen it with my company and with people that I hired, right?
And it was honestly a big thing where I first came and visited you. I saw the culture that you quite frankly cultivated, and I spoke to your business partner at the time, and I was like, okay, this is a person I want to be in business with probably for the rest of my life.
Well, I have turned down over the years some very skilled people because I felt that they would not be a positive contributor to the office environment. And for me, it's always been a big deal to cultivate a positive company environment because you don't want to risk morale. That's important, right? You want people to want to come to work. Like, you want them to want to be there. And if they dread coming to work, they're not going to perform the same way. And if they do want to come to work and the morale is positive, in the case of WWE, that's going to help you attract more talent because these people are all friends, right? Yeah. And you're going to get that positive word of mouth. So in that sense, I thought the re-signing Truth or not re-signing Truth was a bad idea because by all accounts, he's beloved in the locker room. He's a positive influence. He brings smiles to people's faces. He's a veteran. He's a leader, the kind of guy that makes you want to be there. Sometimes in business, you make decisions not based on dollars and cents. You make decisions because they're going to pay dividends in other ways. And to me, that was one. And so everybody that's been saying, well, he's 53, he was a bit player. They use him mostly in cameos. There's other reasons why you make these decisions. Unfortunately.
No, go ahead.
Unfortunately, one of the problems with this new WWE, this new corporate WWE, is decisions are often now being made by people that aren't in the trenches.
You know?
They're being made by people that aren't in the weeds. And I have to include Hunter in that because if Hunter wanted him there, he would be there. If Hunter wanted him re-signed, he would be re-signed. And that's how I look at it. And so the reason I feel like this is an opportunity for AEW to recapture market share is because in 2019, they came along at a time when WWE had dissatisfied a lot of fans. Under Vince McMahon, the product sucked. AEW came along at the right time. By 2021, 2022... WWE's doing better. The bloodline's taken off. They're creating a bunch of new stars. People were maybe disenchanted with the AEW product and they went back. I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, over this last year, WWE's lost goodwill with a lot of fans because of the corporate
And the ticket prices, look at the price increase for replica title belts, all that stuff. They certainly have. And that's something where I think AEW doesn't need to go out and bash WWE. They just put a smile on their face, put a good show on. Then they say, well, here's our ticket prices. Come enjoy our show. Come watch our show. Right. I mean, I can give you guys a Fightful example of what Jimmy said. I've mentioned before, like, we largely do not make money on the web end, the article writing end of things, Jeremy Lambert included, but we want to make sure he's taken care of because he is a leader. Like anybody else that I hire on the writing end, they got to look at Jeremy Lambert and say, well, he works that hard and he does things the right way. And he also has fun with it. It's a culture thing. It's somebody that you want on your team because I would not have been able to lean into scoops as much without him. There are different ways that you determine a person's worth. Let's go ahead and get some of these super chats. Just Mask, because we got a lot of them. Best wishes to Mariah. Hope Triple H's crappy women's booking can change direction soon. Come to think of it, none of WWE's booking has been great lately. There have not been a lot of inspired women's storylines in either company of late. Not either one. And that's a concern.
Haven't been a lot of inspiring WWE stories, period, since WrestleMania.
Tim Traver sent a monster super chat.
That's way too generous.
I put that scroll underneath there for him, and he says, I will say thanks, Jimmy and SRS, for giving me our ideas and smarting me up on life, things in life. Please follow Tim at Tim Traver. If for some reason you like die-cast cars, he does a show on his YouTube channel, which is Tim Traver 9245, the die-cast collective, that is just full of knowledge. I always tell people, find your niche. Chris Van Vliet brought up a quote recently. If you make a show for everyone, you make a show for no one. And I think it's great to find a niche like that and something that you really care about. And he does that exceptionally well. Guys, if I miss a specific R-Truth super chat, we will get to it. But Misfit says, I want Truth to go to Stardom, ask where Io, Kairi, and Julia are, and think that Taro is Rossi but young. That will not happen. But I mean, I like everybody, I get it. Like everybody goes, oh, R false and Ron the Lie Killings, and he's going to go to AEW and think he's still in WWE and all that. No, what he's probably going to do is he's probably going to show up at TNA Slammiversary and be taken very seriously as a former NWA world champion and get a really, really good pop. That's what I think will happen. Lonnie says there were a bunch of us at Raw with truth signs. They confiscated all of them. They can't confiscate your voice. Just remember that.
And we heard that on Raw.
Yep. Had the perfect name for her, Mariah Monroe. That's honestly a very good name.
I like it. Matches her too. I do too.
I love that one. Adrian Wells just constantly sends us super chats with no message to support us. And I just want to say thank you, Adrian. Again, we don't make a ton of money on the web, and we are not a sports keto. We are not going to lie to our audience. So I appreciate you directly supporting us here. What else we got here? I will, like I tell my truck's AC on a hot day, let's crank. Do you know where that came from? Let's crank. I hit up Virgil for an interview, or he hit me up for an interview one day years and years ago.
Yeah, but he wanted
to get
paid.
Yeah. No, he actually didn't. He didn't ask me to get paid.
Okay.
But I was like, yeah, I'd be interested. And he goes, great, let's crank. Like, damn. Okay. It says, where does R-Truth show up first? If he shows up on AAA, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, and I don't see Truth being cool with that anyway.
No, absolutely wouldn't be cool with it. But he will, I think he'll pop up at TNA Slammiversary. That's what I expect.
I'd like to know his motivation even at this point. Like, do you think he still wants to be a worker, you know, on any
There's
kind
a lot of,
people
that want him to be a worker. I got hit up by them.
Okay.
Got hit up by them. Petition to stop the what chance? I hate them. Too. They're dorky. Imagine if you take a girl to a wrestling show, like on a date, and she hears you do that.
Yeah.
Ooh, she will hit the bricks. How does AEW All In get to 20,000-25,000? Well, they're at about, I think, 15,000-16,000.
They'll get to 20.
They'll get to 20. Easily get to 20 because they have an insane walk up. Like, that's just, they have an insane walk up. So 20 is not an issue. I wanted them to get to 30, but that's going to be very, very hard to do. unless they greatly decrease the price of tickets, probably paper it a little bit. That might be hard. 25, I think, is a smooth goal right now. I think is a smooth goal. Let me make sure that I've gotten all the R-Truth ones through here. But, Seamus McAfee summed up the truth stuff decently. Well, they are on the air while we are on the air. So I actually didn't see that, Ryan. But they had said something like, the fans get to know who that person is. They fall in love with the character. R-Truth is one of the most beloved because he's one of the most entertaining. No way he isn't going to come back at some point. Seamus is a very smart guy, and he has been around for almost as long as R-Truth. It's just he, you know, didn't start 8 years before in WWE like Truth did. So Truth had the benefit of coming in at the ass end of the Attitude Era, making his name in TNA, and then coming back and being beloved. A couple of great guys there that can speak to somebody's character as well.
You know, we've seen WWE pivot before based on online reaction. Do you think that they would consider pivoting here? And do you think that Truth would even be open? Or do you think Truth would be like, piss off?
I do think he'd be open to it. I can't say that specifically, but I do think that they would consider pivoting. I know that a lot of the roster voiced their displeasure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A lot of the roster did. We have a lot of general super chat, and I mean a lot of them, guys. So we're going to go ahead and get to those as well. And if you want to talk about this or Mariah May, we are more than happy to. Mr. Straight Fire said, on your Raw review, you said the creative team of Raw and SmackDown work in synergy. In my opinion, past year of Raw has been the better show, even when it was an hour longer. Felt more unpredictable. Are there guidelines for them to have a different style or tone? I believe somewhat, but this is that we are not in the era of Paul Heyman calling in and spying on the WWE Raw creative plan so he can put on a better show. Mm-hmm. Like the competition isn't quite there, at least based on those that I speak with. And there is a lot more synergy there and there's a lot more sharing. And sometimes I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but right now they have actual competition in the form of AEW. And I think that's much more of a concern for them as opposed to competing from within those brands, Jimmy. Clearly there are some style tone differences. I don't know if there is a specific guideline, but I'll ask about that. I'm sure we'll find out on the documentary show. When does that drop? It's got to be soon, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the date of it is, but let me ask you
summer
this.
Summer 2025.
Let me ask you this. So I know that there's been a lot of commentary about the women's booking, right? For a long time. But I want to ask your thoughts on the tag team booking on both brands, because for me, it's been lackluster. But Hunter was a worker. So, you know, I'm surprised that it's not better. Road Dogg, who heads up SmackDown, was one of the greatest tag teams ever. And yet I feel like the tag team booking has been pretty lackluster, and it's not for a lack of talent.
Well, they got Triple H was on top. They decided to nix the tag titles for a while. If you remember that, they completely eliminated them. They had one belt. And then a few months later, they're like, that was dumb. Let's go back and do that. So I think the SmackDown tag division is really good. Like a lot of wrestling, but it's always, oh, well, this person comes out and cuts a promo and then they're interrupted. The beauty of tag teams are like the Dudley Boys playing off. They develop their character by putting everybody through tables. Edge and Christian, we see funny backstage skits where they play off of one another. APA, the Acolytes, didn't need tag titles because their whole gimmick was hire us to beat people up. Mm-hmm. And they were backstage playing cards. And as a result of that, they played off of each other. Even Right to Censor got over massively because they had something to build off of during that era, Jimmy. Too Cool. They danced. They did something.
They danced with the Usos dead. Yeah.
They need something like that.
Presentation. And I agree.
Speaking of Triple H's preferences, Mr. Straight Fire says about that rumor that Triple H doesn't like the Money in the Bank gimmick, which came from WrestleVotes. I want to shout him out. He says, I know Jericho has had heat early on with Triple H, with Jericho taking credit for Money in the Bank. You think Triple H not being a fan is due to pettiness? Have you heard anything about this rumor? I don't think it's due to pettiness. I just don't think he likes the
teases,
the idea of it. And Jimmy, I had somebody from AEW go, here's something you should really take into consideration. Triple H has never been Mr. Money in the Bank. He has never competed in a Money in the Bank match. He has never competed in a Money in the Bank qualifier. He has never been cashed in on, ever.
Really?
That speaks volumes because, listen, a good chunk of his career happened after 2005. So they could have done that. There is absolutely something to that. But it also, it is such a staple and a moneymaker now that Triple H can, he's got to do it. He's definitely got to do it.
I still like the concept. What I don't like is when it's so repetitive with there's a tease, doesn't happen. There's a tease, doesn't happen. There's a tease, doesn't happen. When it's so repetitive.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, when it happens over and over and over again. But I think back to, when you think back to Rollins at WrestleMania, when you think back to Tiffany cashing in, still got great response, right? Like the crowd was still really into it. I still like the concept. It was, it's only when it's so repetitive with, oh, he's teasing, didn't happen, teasing, didn't happen.
They had one of the worst eras of main title booking ever, like mid 2019 to early 2020. When Brock had that briefcase, he was still a part-time guy, Jimmy, but they could have used that as such a crutch. Because if you remember, Seth Rollins was the Beast Slayer then, and that gimmick didn't do shit. Nobody liked it. But Brock had the briefcase, and everybody thought, well, Brock's going to come for Seth, specifically if he's got that title. That should have been the catalyst for Seth Rollins to turn into a paranoid heel, bring on AOP to protect him, because every time, like Paul Heyman could have really messed with him. You could have accentuated that briefcase in the absence of Brock Lesnar, Jimmy, where just his music hitting was a threat to a match. Because when it's Brock Lesnar, it's a whole lot different, right? It's just lazy, uninspired stuff instead. They need to do something creative with it.
Although, shout out to Boombox Brock. That was fun.
It was fun. Lonnie Barker says, did WWE see this Cena run as bad as I do? Do you see Cody winning back the title at SummerSlam, giving Cena the chance to take a month off and finishing his year as a face? Why does he need to take a month off? You don't need to take a month off. Let him wrestle first off. He's got like roughly, I think it's 3 to 4 dates per month through the end of the year. And I mean, it's hard for me to believe he's going to be wrestling on New Year's Eve or anything like that. Like, let me see
they did announce the date. It's in Boston in December.
Okay. But like, so it'll be hard for me to believe it'll be December 27th. Maybe the holiday tour or something, but it is bad. It sucks. It's uninspired. It's boring. It is a trope. It is. I thought that they originally didn't change anything because it was good for the John Cena plot point, but it's just lazy, Jimmy. It's just boring. That's all.
I can't believe they fumbled it. Like you basically were lobbed. You were lobbed a winner. You know what I mean? And I just can't believe they fumbled it. Do you remember when it happened in Elimination Chamber? They were getting talk all over the mainstream media. Everybody was talking about it, and they completely fucked it up. And I still think part of it was because Rock's talking, you know, out of kayfabe about it. Hunter's talking out of kayfabe about it. But a lot of it was the booking. And here's Cena doing another promo, and you people are terrible. And Cody hits the finisher, and he lays dead. And now another promo, and you people are terrible. And Cody hits the finisher, and he lays dead. It's been so repetitive. What do you think about he's going to team with Logan Paul? Logan Paul, Hunter loves
trying to get him some heat.
I understand.
It speaks volumes that WWE spent so long trying to get John Cena cheered. They got him in a position where he could be cheered. They turned him heel. And it sucks so much that even the audience isn't playing along now with this thing that they've wanted forever.
How aware of it do you think Cena is? Because I imagine he's got to be, right? Like, he's got to be thinking, this is not what I thought my last year was going to be, you know? And here's another question for you. So play Booker for a minute, Sean. So we know that his last match is in December in Boston. I saw it announced somewhere. I don't see him working that match as a heel. I see him going out as a babyface.
Yeah, for sure.
So my question for you is, do you think that he's going to lose the title, let's say, to Cody? When and how do you think the heel turn happens? Because I don't think he's going to wrestle that last match. He goes in as a heel, like, say, Hogan at Mania with Rock, where he goes in as a heel, comes out as a babyface. I don't think it's going to be like that. You think it's going to be like that?
I think he turns babyface after he loses the title.
After he loses the title.
And accountability and taking responsibility is a babyface trait. I think he will take accountability and say, he'll say something like, I was confronting the fact that I wasn't going to be performing in front of you people anymore. And I tried to convince myself that it was somehow your fault. And then he says, I made the conscious decision to leave. And I realized how much I was going to miss you guys. Be real. Just be honest, truthful, or at least lie in a nice way.
Interesting.
Dave says, is the Rollins group cool? Yes, but where is the why? They want to save wrestling. All righty then. Where's the emotion, the intrigue around what their mission statement is? It's flimsy. It's lazy. Jimmy, it's the Seth Riders. That's what it is. They want to recreate wrestling and their image and all this stuff, but we don't. And ultimately, it's the same motivation that should be there for the Death Riders. It's not any of that. Seth Rollins is just a greedy jerk. That should be the thing. He wants to be world champion. John Moxley wanted to be world champion. So he brainwashed these people into making him world champion. In Seth's case, I think it's better because it's his two biggest threats on top of that. That's what I think it should be revealed as, and that Paul Heyman helped him mastermind it.
Do you think that Jey Uso and Sami Zayn are strong enough as top of the card opponents, top of the card baby faces, to get enough heat on Rollins' group? Do you think Sammy, because obviously Punk is the guy.
Yeah.
But do you think that Jey and Sammy, you think they're strong enough as baby faces that the crowd cares enough about Rollins' group? Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Because I find that Jey has struggled as champion. Like I find that it hasn't really. What are you laughing at?
The super chat just popped me.
What was that?
I love Terry Allen Jr. I love
your personality.
Dude.
I should ask Sean to do it.
No, Jimmy, I want you to describe your personality.
Low key and does not feel the need to impress anybody.
That is absolutely true.
Yep.
Wants to be treated like everybody else is how I would describe
the way I'm dressed right now. I'm dressed right now in like a t-shirt and sweatpants. Yeah. I'll wear this out. You know what I mean? I don't give a shit.
So I remember we always bring up the story about how Ventura said, went up to you and was like, I'm not comfortable with how Sean talks to you.
She did.
And how your wife approached me at the first game that I went to and said, never stop talking to him like that.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, that's what he likes. He wants to be treated like a normal human being, even if it's not what he wants to hear sometimes, because he would treat everybody else the same way. That's how I would describe
But you know, when you're younger in your 20s and even into the 30s, you kind of care what other people think about you. I don't give a shit at this point in my life. Couldn't care less. That's a big part of who.
Yeah. Fair. Man, we still have a bunch of super chats. Don't know how long Jimmy can hang around, but by God, I'm going to be here. Says, I really feel like Mercedes should drop the TBS title before All In to Jamie, Willow, or Athena. Creates vulnerability for her character we've not seen. Plus, it makes one of the other women. I mean, at this point, we are 5 weeks out. Here's my thing. I think that Tony wins that match. I think Tony wins the All-In match. I do think that if Mercedes dropped that title, it would create some intrigue and people would be like, oh, well, clearly they're going to have Mercedes win. Then she's not going to.
Yeah, but they built her up too strong to have her lose before the big show.
I agree.
Because all anybody talks about is Mercedes never loses. Mercedes never loses. They built that up. So now you get it done on the big show. You don't do it on TV before the big show.
Yeah. Can you remember a performer getting a better first 10 months booking in WWE than Bakur? Brock, Angle, not even joking. Oh, Brock for sure. Brock had the best introduction I have ever seen into WWE. It was, quite frankly, it was perfect. The way that they brought in Brock, and he was the perfect performer for it as well. Yeah. Kurt Angle had a pretty strong one, to the point to where you think that his undefeated streak lasted a lot longer than a few months. But even his first loss to Taz, him getting squashed, was great.
The two obvious ones are Undertaker's an obvious one. He won the title after a year. Yokozuna's an obvious one. He won the belt pretty quickly too. But Stephanie, and you know what? Credit to her, because she's talented, dude. You know what I mean? And the move she does, you know, she gets over with the Booker T move. But
Charlotte did for years.
Right.
Here's a funny one. I had a wrestler who is a friend of mine who is kind of tall and lanky. And she's like, I need some moves to do like that are specific. And I sent her those Charlotte head scissor stomps, and I was like, those will get over. She didn't do them. Now it'd be looked at as a ripoff. I hate to say it. But also, Stephanie's only been there 7 months. So, like, in the company, like, mm-hmm. on TV. Cool Fool says, I was heartbroken when James Harden left the Rockets, but gave him a standing ovation when he got his first game back in Houston. Also, SRS to Giannis to Houston, not Toronto. I like the Toronto Raptors core right now. I think that them getting Brandon Ingram, signing him to a long-term deal, they've got their draft picks right now. They've got a very young core that is under contract right now. I don't want them to trade two starters and three draft picks for 2 years of Giannis. I don't want to see that. I think NBA teams are seeing, maybe don't give up three or four draft picks for one player that may or may not play 40, 50, 60 games a year. Not saying Giannis is that guy, but
I can tell you, living here locally, the media is all over this.
Yeah.
Because Toronto's got a big Greek community. So the media is all over it, but I agree with you. And I'm not a big basketball guy, but don't leverage or don't hemorrhage your future for 2 years of a star player.
That being said, if Giannis gets to Toronto, I will be excited for it. Of course I'll be excited. Nico asks, Jimmy, does the curse of St. Patrick get broken this year?
Does the curse of St. Patrick get broken this year? I don't know what he's talking about.
Sounds like a hockey thing.
The curse of St. Patrick?
I don't know.
If he's talking about Edmonton winning the Stanley Cup, I believe that they are the favorites going into this round with the Florida Panthers. I
think the Maple Leafs will cash in their money in the bank contract. And then,
you know, it's funny, Sean.
And then lose in seven games, Jimmy.
So you know who Connor McDavid is, right?
Of course.
So the media now and people who I know who are fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs, they are now all completely of the belief that in 1 year McDavid as an unrestricted free agent is going to sign with Toronto because he's from Toronto. Yeah. So they're all hanging their hats on that that hope and dream at the moment.
I saw that with Joey Votto for years for the Reds. Right. They were like, oh, if they don't sign him, he'll go to the Blue Jays.
Right.
Which to me, I was like, nice consolation. But then he signed like a 10-year deal. And then when the Reds cut him, then he went to the Blue Jays. Go figure.
He might have been talking about, sorry to cut you off, he might have been talking about the fact that the Oilers touched the conference title trophy. So last year they didn't touch it. They lost in the final. This year they did touch it because they figured, what the hell?
Yes.
It's nothing. It's fine. I don't believe
it. The Bengals had the curse of Bo Jackson for years. They injured his hip in a playoff game. He never played football again, and they didn't win a playoff game for 30 years after that. And then in their first playoff win, they beat the Raiders. I was there. I was there with Jeff Hawkins actually watching that game. Nico says, not bothered by the name changes. Curious why Ricky Starks and Mariah's names are being changed, but Ethan Page and Stephanie Vaquer keep their names. Any insight into this? No, I wish I did have insight to it. Not to make you waste your super chat. Ethan Page had been established on TNA, AEW, a lot of places outside of that. Mariah May, it's her shoot name. I think it's something that they want to be able to trademark to some degree. Ricky Starks was an interesting one. Because there are cases for all these. There are shoot names. There are worked names. There are combinations of shoot and work names. I would have to, and then I will. I'll ask each one individually if there happens to be any insight on that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Do you think we'll eventually see Maggie Lee in NXT now that she's in TNA? We should. I think they probably regret not signing Maggie Lee. She was a surefire thing. She was one that would have fit on NXT immediately. They need to sign Brittany Brooks as soon as they can as well. There's a whole lot of good women's talent out there. It's the corporate way of things. I think guys like Ron and Carlito are seen as comedy guys who are very limited in the ring. So I think if you're told to not renew deals or do cuts, these guys are expendable. Well, Carlito, listen, I get it. They're probably not making their money back on Carlito, but R-Truth, they were. And I've often said, like, the joke that Christopher Daniels told me, don't do anything in minute five. You can't do in minute 30. And I say, Jeff Jarrett never did anything in 1989. He couldn't do today, which is why he has the same matches. R-Truth is the same way with the start of his career, except he does very athletic things, Jimmy. It's not like, oh, well, here's the stroke. Here's a leg sweep. Here's a punch. He's doing kicks and flips and all kinds of stuff, and he can still do them. He can still go in the ring to the level he always could.
And again, I've seen people, you know, saying that, you know, people like us talking about this are overreacting, and this true thing, this is not doomsday. No one's saying WWE's going out of business.
Yeah.
Like that's absurd. No one's saying
or that. Even giving up number one spot.
Right, right. But this true thing, again, is one of a number of questionable decisions. It's not like WWE's been just cranking on all cylinders, and then this is the first blip. Go back to when Rock decided, you know what, let's pull Cody out of Mania. I want Roman instead. And then they had poor Cody on SmackDown, tail between his legs, walk out and basically give Roman to Rock. That was a corporate decision. It was a stupid decision. And that was one of many. And you talked about ticket prices. That was a big one. Deciding, oh, let's not do New Orleans because Vegas is going to pay us a bunch of money. That was one. There's been a bunch of corporate decisions that they've made. You can put counter programming up there, counter programming AEW. A bunch of things that they've done over the last year where I believe they've lost goodwill with fans.
Yeah, I think like you have to really put your fingers in your ears to deny that they were counter programming. But still, I saw some people doing it, even up until Battleground. Then when AEW reportedly does more pay-per-view buys against Battleground than they did for Revolution, well, that shows you, okay, AEW's audience is not affected. But then when you run two shows in one weekend to try to counter-program All In, then when neither one of those darts hit the board, you throw a third one at the board, people are like, all right, man, it's a little exhausting, and it's pretty transparent. Here's an interesting one. Crispy Chris says, have you heard any plans for Cross being used? No, and I've got an update coming on Karrion Kross to Fightful Select right after this, but I'm going to toss you out a theory. They've been putting Karrion Kross on main event a lot lately.
Yep.
You know how WWE is, and it's been this way for a long time. If they don't get them over, sometimes they don't want them over. I think that they do still find him a valuable piece of the TV for what he's doing. But I think for the live crowd, they're trying to exhaust his pop before they go on the air for when he shows up on Raw to kind of minimize it a little bit. I think they are that petty as well.
See, I thought this was a Vince McMahon mentality. Like Karrion Kross.
No, I don't think so.
No, because Karrion Kross is a Hunter guy. You know what I mean?
So it hasn't seemed like a Hunter guy lately.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's just strange to me. All these things that we're talking about, decisions being made and trying to minimize a guy's pop. That was a Vince McMahon thing. It's unfortunate if Hunter is showcasing some of those same tendencies.
Oh man. Did Liv inform WWE about the stalker, or they found out another way? Do the women get security when traveling around? So I want to be careful about this, cause I don't want to give away enough or like too much of the private elements of this, but this is a situation that, from what I understand, she was made privy to, informed WWE on. And I mean, like, from what I heard, WWE informed the FBI about it.
Really?
Like, that's what I heard. I heard they informed the FBI about it. Like, they ain't playing around, man. They do not want another Sonya Deville situation.
Yeah.
They take this stuff very, very seriously. And they do not get security when traveling around. But I'll say this, like, I don't think we are that far removed from WWE instituting some policies for their talent about fans at hotels and airports as well. For one reason, to protect their talent. For two, to protect their financials as well. Because I want to make this clear, guys. There is zero excuse to go to a hotel or airport to get a wrestler to sign anything. I don't care. You got a kid? Don't care. You want an autograph? Don't care. Go to a meet and greet. Go to the meet and greet and support that talent. There's no reason. That should be their safe space. It should. Dave Cost says, I got Will Ospreay, the highest floor, Swerve, biggest upside star potential, and Hangman makes me feel the most. Well, it's pretty good when you have all those, and then you got a fourth baby face in Kenny Omega that's like the legend of the company. It's a good place for AEW to be in right now, Jimmy.
What do you think is going to become of MJF? As you know, now you've got Happy Gilmore 2 coming out. He's all over. He's down all over the trailer, but he's in quite a bit of the trailer.
Oh, he's all over the trailer.
Yeah, he's in quite a bit. He's in quite a bit.
Four times he was in it.
What? And you know, he's done other stuff like Iron Claw. I don't know what MJF's motivations are, what he wants to do, but when that comes out, and you know, if he gets good press off of that, like,
oh, Jimmy, what do I think happens next for him? Look at anybody who has ever done a movie with Adam Sandler at any point ever. What is their next move? Doing another movie with Adam Sandler, and then doing another movie with Adam Sandler.
And that's what's going to happen.
Then having Adam Sandler produce a movie for them, whether it's good or the worst thing you've ever seen in your goddamn life. I think that assuming he didn't completely turn Adam Sandler off, he will probably continue to do a bunch of Adam Sandler movies, which is a very good position to be in if you want acting roles and paydays in Hollywood.
Yeah, so long as he doesn't turn to Rob Schneider, I guess.
Exactly.
Someone just said Rob Schneider. There you go.
Yeah, Rob Schneider sucks, by the way. It's not funny, but he had some hits. Yeah. Listen, I can dislike him and admit he's got some hits.
Mm-hmm.
Will WWE add a fifth match to Money in the Bank? I can't say that definitively. I think they will. How do you see the end of Cena's title run? I think he loses the title, takes accountability, and turns babyface. Who do you got winning the briefcase this Saturday? I have Naomi winning the briefcase, but what a loaded women's one it is there. Who do you have, Jimmy?
So I had wanted LA Knight because I felt like LA Knight needed the rub. And you last week we talked about it and you kind of opened my eyes too. I think Rollins makes a lot of sense.
Rollins is like, I got
you. Yeah, just based on, now the only thing that I question about it is, does Gunther beat Jay? Because if Gunther beats Jay, is Gunther going to turn babyface then if Rollins is going after him?
I think he would. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. You think that might happen?
That's the most element. I think that could happen. Or Gunther could go to SmackDown and they kind of start fresh there.
Right. If he loses, you have to
There was a funny theory, which I was told isn't happening. Somebody said, what if Triple H hates the Money in the Bank so much that after Chad Gable loses his match at Worlds Collide, El Grande Americano wins the Money in the Bank and cashes it in on the AAA Mega Championship at some point in the future? Because I'll tell you this, that is a very AAA type story. Even though they probably wouldn't like it. They weren't happy with Del Rio losing.
So I have to go in a minute, but I want to ask you this before I go. So last weekend, Vikingo beats Alberto for the Mega Championship. Right? Happened last weekend. Last week, Sean, on Raw, before the match even happened with Vikingo versus Alberto, they announced on Raw that Vikingo is going to defend the title against Chad Gable at Worlds Collide. So they announced that Vikingo is defending a title that he hadn't won yet. How did that come about? Is it because WWE just doesn't care enough about, you know, not spoiling AAA? They think their audience doesn't follow AAA. How is it that WWE announced a matchup where one of the participants wasn't yet the champion?
Because they don't want that. They don't want the American audience thinking they got anything to do with Del Rio.
That's the reason.
As best I know. Yeah.
Because if that's the case, why not say nothing until Vikingo wins the title?
I don't
know.
And
then, you know what I mean?
That was puzzling. And that pissed off a lot of Mexican fans. Denise was educating me on it this weekend. Like Denise was really, really helpful in this situation. It pissed off a lot of their fans.
It was unheard of. I mean, I remember
it was insulting to their intelligence.
Right. Sure. I remember times in the 80s when wrestling was taped in advance. Right. So in the 80s, every now and then you would hear about, oh, this tag team on WCW Worldwide had the tag belts that they hadn't won yet.
Negative 2-day title reign. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's because that's when they tape prior to a live event pay-per-view or whatever. But in this era, when everything is live and everything is available at your fingertips in seconds with the internet, unheard of for them to basically spoil that outcome before it happened. So very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I have to jet.
Okay.
So enjoy the rest of the show and take care, everybody.
I am here answering super chats and humper chats all day for you guys. And to Jimmy's point, the Nasty Boys had a negative 18 day reign with the titles. The Freebirds had a negative 6-day reign, which at least tells you that they had long-term booking, right? At least there's that. In your opinion, not a report, do you think they renew Cross, or is this a Dijak situation where they have no plans and don't renew him ultimately? It's tough to say, because with Dijak, they weren't putting him on TV, so it's already not a Dijak situation. With Dijak, they called him up with no plans to use him, and then didn't renew him, and that was it. And I know a bunch of weirdos was like, well, it's because he was leaking to the sheets. They don't give a shit. They don't care. They really don't care. And he wasn't, by the way. But I think they do need to renew Cross, because if they don't, I think that it will show the audience and a lot of fans. Like, if you get yourself over, it doesn't really matter. Laney Reed getting time, look good and Level Up. Yeah. Yeah. Very happy to see that. How come Worlds Collide is on YouTube instead of Peacock and maybe Netflix? Is it a contract thing with airing AAA? Yeah, I don't think that they have a rights deal with Peacock as of yet for that. But I think that that's just one of them where they can put it on YouTube. They can sell whatever advertisements they want. They don't have to clear any of that. And it's not working their Peacock deal right now. Dave, I'm sorry about missing this one for Jimmy. Can you educate TKO holders on what con selling 4 million of stock does, if anything? What we are going to do, I will save this, and next week he will read that one. I will make sure of it. Speaking of Evolution 2, chances of AAA, Marigold, and TNA being a part of it. I hope they do make it a part of it, because that would add some intrigue and probably sell a few tickets as well. First off, you want to get AAA involved, because just the mere idea of promoting Lucha Libre is a ticket selling point, and that can go a long way. But I think there are chances of that. I think there certainly are chances of that. Curse of St. Patrick team, Curse of St. Patrick is that no Canadian hockey team has won the cup since Montreal Canadiens hung Patrick Wild to dry in a game, then traded him. Okay. Heavy Metal Chris says, what would you have for the card for Forbidden Door? I think Will versus Okada for unified continental title. I don't think they're doing that. I think Gabe Kidd, Mark Briscoe probably continues there. Gabe Kidd against somebody prominent, I think, should happen, honestly. But Evil needs to be in a big match. Tsuji needs to be in a big match. They had planned for him against Swerve last year. And I think that this year, it's got to be against somebody that can lose as well, though. So Tsuji against a workhorse. Damn, man. Throw some ideas out at me in the chat. I'm having a tough time with this one. Hendrickson to the Commanders for a 3rd and 26, 7th and 27. Absolutely not. I would rather... No, here's why you won't see Trey Hendrickson traded for a third. Because if they let Trey Hendrickson walk in free agency next year, they get a third round comp pick anyway for the Bengals. So there's no reason to trade him for a third, because they're going to get a third anyway. Biggest issues with NXT TV, how would you fix it? I think NXT TV has been greatly improved lately. The acting is the only thing that I would change. And take it out of the venue, out of the general PC location a little bit more. Heavy Metal Chris says, three worries I have for Mariah. She gets watered down. Well, she's not going to do a lot of the overly sexual stuff and bleeding that was on AEW TV. So that is going to change. Be prepared for that. She gets lost in the shuffle. That is certainly a concern with a company that has not appropriately booked women for quite a while. And quite frankly, no company has had an incredible number of inspired storylines for women, which is very frustrating. The third one, company doesn't know how to use her. That kind of falls into both. If anyone can overcome those things, it's her. Seth and Vicar for the briefcases. Stephanie and Naomi are my two picks. They're certainly my two picks. Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. A reminder, we are here at midnight tonight. So if you want super chats or you want humper chats in ahead of that show so you can listen to it tomorrow at work or whatever, go ahead. K775 says, do you think JC will be champ for a short period, head to the main roster, or she sticks around for a while? She and Fallon are ready for the main roster. I do think she sticks around for a little bit longer, then goes to the main roster. I do think that she'll probably lose that title to probably Mariah. And I think that she will factor into the top of the card for a little bit longer, because this does give her a bit of an extension on life in NXT. And then I think she'll head to the main roster. How does All In get 30 to 35,000 then? Get Roman Reigns out of his contract, sign him to AEW, and then book him on the show. That's how I think they surpass 30,000. Dave, what do you know about the Cope Christian reunion or lack thereof? Did they put a pin in it because All Out is in Toronto? That would make sense. The people I talked to hinted to me that there were some hiccups in relation to turning Christian babyface or getting him out of the patriarchy. Seems like he wanted to do that for a little bit longer. And I don't know the reaction of those that were involved in the story, but they had planned for Cope and Christian against FTR at All In. Now, I mean, you could do it at All Out and it could main event the show, but if I'm AEW, I'm saying, Christian, friend, you are not the booker. We want this match for All In, and then we'll do it again at All Out as well, but we need to move some tickets. We need to put some asses in seats. Ethan Page leading Vanity Project looked good. That eight-man tag ruled. Trick versus Santana was good. Starting to notice Trick shines with good workers. Yes, he does. And if you can find wrestlers who are a little rough around the edges but shine with good workers, then they're completely fine to use because you've got a lot of good workers. Trick has some charisma that can't quite be coached, though. And that's a good thing. That is a wonderful thing. I'm also happy to see First Class on NXT. That made me very, very happy. But I think they're starting to round out a lot of great stuff in NXT. Stephanie's presentation was top-notch Monday. Her interaction with Rhea screamed mania match to me. Really fits the term aura with the two of them. So I long thought that Rhea and Bianca, one-on-one, mania main event. I guess they could still do it. But now when you got Julia coming up, now when you got Stephanie coming up, you got Mariah May popping up in NXT, you got Jordan Grace down there. You look at a Becky Lynch who has worked with everybody on that roster, completely fresh crop of talent. Bianca Belair, completely fresh crop of talent. Rhea Ripley, fresh crop of talent. Each person that shows up there multiplies. Another feud, another feud, another feud. That tree branches off. That's why signing talent, top talent in abundance, is crucial. And all of a sudden, WWE, who has had a stale booking of their women's division for quite some time, has a plethora of top-level feuds that they could work into, and they really, really need to. My dude, Tim Traver, listen, I want to say thank you, man. I'm going to make sure next week to give you an ad read on this for the Diecast Collective as well. This banner will be here for the next couple of weeks. So very happy you're safe from the bad storms and the twister. We had bad storms and an F3 twister in my area last month on the 16th. Well, I hope you're okay as well. Unfortunately, we get a lot of those in Kentucky. And here in central Kentucky, it's been pretty rough of late. Like, it's been a tough one. So glad that you are safe as well. But yeah, it's been nasty. Been nasty. Best money in the bank cash into this day was RVD. You know, that's one an often forgotten one because he cashed it in ahead of time. And he did that very early in the briefcase history where he called his shot and said, no, I want to book it for then. Had a lead-in question to that AEW babyface comment. I am so sorry. I wish other sports had money in the bank briefcases. I would love my Vikings to finally win a Super Bowl. Cadillac Carson, listen, man, I'm interested in what you think of the J.J. McCarthy situation. All these teams that had good backup QBs, now it's like spread out a little bit. But, yeah, I'd love the Bengals to be able to cash in that money in the bank. They are a perfect money in the bank football team as well. They've got an exciting team and all that. But Mr. Straightfire says, what are your guys' odds that we ever get a reason why he joined The Rock? I even think Cena will turn face before we ever see Rock again. Oh, me too. I don't think we're seeing Rock anytime soon. I believe that The Rock didn't get things quite his way and didn't like the way that it was and decided, you know what? It doesn't need me. So I'm just going to go chill. And we got what we got. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. We do have a couple more super chats. And I was asked this on another show. Like, why do I say that the YouTube algorithm doesn't favor us? We used to throw everything on this channel. Like, sometimes our monthly views show negative because I'm constantly unlisting old videos that are bad for our algorithm. But leaving a thumbs up and commenting after the fact really helps us. If you want to help us in other ways, you can subscribe to any of our audio platforms. Leave us a nice review, especially on Apple and Spotify. Those go such a long way. Even if you watch on the video portion, it helps us. We are on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. I am on Facebook now. I'm dropping scoops over there here and there. So if you want to see me debunk a bunch of fake news on Facebook, I'm doing it regularly. We also have Fightful Espanol, and it's not just Fightful Espanol on Twitter. It is on Patreon. It is on Instagram. It is on Facebook. Yeah, we're on all those. But Rocky Romero said you need to open up a Facebook and Instagram. And if Spanish is your first, second, third, whatever language, Luis is doing a great job there. Again, I am also on TikTok. I go live every so often. I'm trying to figure out how to run my live streams there as well. But we are all over the place right now. All over the place. But yes, please, please leave a nice Spotify or Apple review. It goes so long. Because listen, we have some trolls that go in there and mess with us quite a bit. Brody King versus Tsuji. That's a good one. That'd be a really good one. Again, I would like to do Tsuji versus Swerve. I wonder if they'd be cool with Swerve winning the IWGP title and then dropping it back. Wonder about that. Yeah, listen, if they could get to 25K for All In, that would be a major success. And with their walk-up, that would be big. But I don't know what their current numbers are now, because I don't think it's at 18. Is it? Let me see here. Boop, 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 doop. Sorry for this dead air. As somebody says, what do I think of R-Truth being released? I think it was an ill-advised decision that is going to affect the morale of the company and will show people that anybody can be fired. Like, and now I understand there are circumstances around it. The fact that he wasn't released, his contract's expiring. But also, it is a situation where a lot of people love him, and that does affect people. WrestleTix, who, again, I want you guys to support original creators, has 16,079 on WrestleTix as of yesterday. That is before Okada Omega announced. That is before, hopefully, Cope and Christian announced. And they get, again, a strong walk-up. I would be interested to learn what their walk-ups were for similar-sized events in the past. Broadway Joe says, I like how Triple H is not liking Money in the Bank, is admitting it. He's creatively bankrupt. Did you hear Abu's take on Truth? It was a lot, but eye-opening for me. I did not. Listen, I think Abu is one of the most level-headed analysis. What? I saw a tweet. No, I don't think she's going to be named another month, guys. I'm sorry. I just saw that. Surely they're not just going to name her Annalisa June. It'll be something that's like MM as well. But I did not. But Abu is one of the most level-headed, best analysts in wrestling. And he's very, very plugged in. Dave, I don't see these. If you can just send them in here without a super chat, Dave. Because I did not see those on our starred section. But as far as Triple H being creatively bankrupt, he's got a roster full of talent and roster full of creative names and brains and all that stuff. There was a punk question you popped up. Just write the question. I can't find it. They're unstarred now. Just retype it out. I'll read it before I go. Who got Dave? I don't. We're leaving a lot of dead air here, fellas. Trying to get to this one, but I don't know who's doing what here. So here's what I'll do. I'm going to give Blue Chew a bonus read while we get this question.
We need to talk about your mailman. Doesn't need to know your business. Doesn't need to know you're looking to have better sex. Fortunately, Blue Chew is here. It arrives in a discreet package. But let's get back to the start. Maybe you want that performance, that edge in bed. Blue Chew has you covered. So here's the deal. You take their online consultation, and if approved, you get a chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis for a fraction of the price. Not just that, no awkward doctor's visits in person, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Prescribed online, shipped straight to your door, but mailman's not going to know what's in that package, but somebody's going to know what your package is bringing. Maybe it is the mailman or mailwoman. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they want you to drop something off by their back door. Well, with Blue Chew, you're going to be able to do that. Use the code FIGHTFUL. BlueChew.com.
I was waiting for that chat to pop back up. Oh, okay. Consistency, ceiling, floor, take it wherever you want to go. Oh, you're talking about the hangman, swerve, Osprey thing. Consistency in the ring, Osprey. Ceiling, I'm going to say that the highest ceiling is Osprey because he hasn't been world champion. Hangman definitely makes me feel more, but I think that Swerve is the inspiration to feel more. Osprey is going to be the mascot, the flag bearer, like the dancing AEW logo that people love and associate with AEW. But I think that Kenny Omega will be like the sort of Raiden to all their babyface characters of Mortal Kombat that comes along every once in a while and is like, all right, guys, here we go. If I had to rank them, I mean, it's 1A, 1B, 1C that I'd go. Consistency, Osprey, Hangman, Swerve, ceiling, Osprey, Swerve, Hangman, the highest floor, Hangman, Swerve, Osprey, maybe. It's just all three of them are such hugely indispensable elements. As for Punk, how can we realistically get him to turn heel with fans with the reaction he has? Because he isn't getting younger, and a heel title run is wanted by many fans. Because listen, sometimes he's a curmudgeon. Sometimes he is a curmudgeon. And that is oftentimes what he leans into it, and he's a bit crabby, right? I think that is something that can turn him heel. Also, I think a match with Stone Cold Steve Austin could turn him heel. I think that could happen. But I think it's honestly, it's just CM Punk showing his worst qualities that we have seen in the past. Oh, man, let me check these Humper Chats one more time. Guys, if you want to get your Humper Chats in for tonight's AEW show, if you don't want to stay up too late, please go ahead, get those in. I'm already exhausted, man. I'm back here at midnight. Oh, well, we got one more. BL says, DC scenario where Sammy joins Rollins' stable. Jay was the one that didn't want him in Bloodline. I think he said he didn't get along with Punk. I actually don't. I think this is Sammy teasing it from the cross stuff. And then he like really hammers home like, no, I am a good guy and I can become world champion as a good guy. And that's what I think happens there. I think all this matters and will pay off big for a Sami Zayn title win. Guys, thank you all so much. I am back here tonight at midnight reviewing AEW. We're out.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.